Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, back in the saddle again. It's good to be home. Got up this morning. You know, I've been hearing about this cold wave that's going to hit down through the Midwest. Well, it's hit. It's not as bad here in Ohio as I thought it was going to be. They were telling us, you know, 15 below zero and all that. And I just checked my little thing today, and it says what here in Hebron? It's two. So two's not so bad. Mark Trump just piped in. He's still up in Wisconsin, and it's minus 15. I saw some places where it's more than that. And, you know, I don't know about you. Would you like a heat wave better than a cold wave? I was taking the rental car back yesterday, and I stopped and had to fill up the tank before I took it back. And I got out, and the temperature wasn't very warm. And that wind, holy smokes, it cut right through me, man. Got right through me. And I think I'd rather burn to death than freeze to death. I don't know about you guys. That cold, man. Ain't nothing like it. So we're home back in the saddle. Michelle and I, praise the Lord. I had the best flight. We had the best flights yesterday. No delays, anything like that. And got home and got to see half of our grand family, and great to be back. And just want to tip my cap again to Denny, Brian. And I want to say this. You know, Chad Estes told us, I don't know if Chad's in here this morning. I think he got home. I didn't have a look to really see who's in here. Chad tried to encourage people he had an opportunity to address the crowd on what night was that? Sunday night. And he made it very, very simple. He said, hey, listen, can you plan a birthday party? You ever plan a birthday party for your kids? He said, well, that's really what this is. Can you just plan a party and have five or six people over and, you know, show them a video? Or I wouldn't call it a Bible study. What does that even mean, Bible study? You know, I hear that a lot. We have a Bible study. Yeah? What does that mean? And how do you study it? And what resources do you use? And how about just a Bible read and a Bible discussion? And you all can do that. You all can do that. And I'm more convinced than ever that Christianity has to be decentralized. We have to decentralize. I had some of the most amazing conversations, 5-minute conversation here, 5-minute there with different people this weekend, people that I never really knew before. I mean, I knew them, but never really did. And to see, you know, we're all walking this walk together. We're all fighting this fight together. If I took 5 minutes and said, hey, Mark Trump, tell me all the problems you got in your life, he'd take 20 minutes. And I said, Jared, tell me all the crazy things going on in your life, he'd take. We're all dealing with stuff. We're all dealing with it. We have to decentralize. We have to decentralize from that thing that we call the church. We're the church. And some of us are to the point now where really we ought to be going out extending help, not asking. And I don't mean that in a negative way, because Lord knows I appreciate prayer. People call, say, Coach, or text me, Coach, we're praying for you. And I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for praying for me. Because I, you know, some of us, we get so deep into the battles and so distracted that we be honest, don't have time to pray. Don't have time to pray. But we don't have time to pray because we don't really understand what that even means. Pray without ceasing. Right? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Those are like slogans. What does that even mean? What does it even mean? And I think prayer is nothing more than a continual relationship with God, a continual fellowship between the Spirit of God inside me and the Spirit. Continue fellowship. And continue acknowledgement that I know he's there. I'm listening, trying to obey. And I think we formalize it too much. We complicate it. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, call on it. Call on it. What does that mean? You have to have a long sit-down discussion all the time with him? No. sometimes I can, you know, I said somebody the other day, here's proof that Jesus is alive. All you got to do is say, Siri, how far is it to Oskaloosa, Iowa? How far is it to Oskaloosa, Iowa? Siri's not working right now. Come on, Siri. Try to make a point here. Oh, I know why. I got it programmed to my headphones. That's why it won't work. But I ask Siri how far it is to Oskaloosa, Iowa, and she immediately tells me. Boom, my answer. Sometimes that's all prayer has to be, folks. Just prayer. Not sit down sackcloth and ashes and go over in a corner and humble yourself and pray. And my brother got to pray this thing through. Sometimes you just got to stand up and, as I said the other day, walk it through. Walk it through. Lord, is this the door you want me to go through? Okay, thanks. I'm gone. Boom. Order my steps. Thanks. Boom. Gone. And not formalize it. We have formalized our communication with God. Formalize it. Like you got to make an appointment to go meet your doctor. You got to make an appointment to go talk to God. No. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Praise continually on our lips. That's where I want to get. That's where I want to get. I don't want to tear down the church and anything like that. I'm just trying to awaken us to what the church really, really, really is. What it really is. And that's why I want to thank Denny. For those of you who don't know, Denny Bryan, who put that together for us this weekend, 6 months ago, when I really got to know Denny, whenever that was, around Halloween, maybe before that, when he first tapped into us, went out there. Denny basically was a walking dead man, telling him about his lungs. You know, he needed a lung transplant. He's going to die, yada, yada, yada. And I made the comment the other night, Denny's healthier than I've seen him in a while. When I first started communicating with Denny, he's better today. He is better today. There's a real tendency for us when things get us down or we get sick or whatever to wallow in our own misery. And Denny found something that he dived into and boom, he went hard after it. He said, we're going to have a huddle in every county in Iowa. I think he's going to. I think he is. But, he pulled that event off without he and Craig and some others with a lot of sacrifice went into that. Then he dropped some bucks. I know he did. Put his money where his mouth is. I think probably with his sickness and I'm not speaking for you, Denny. I just know. I'm just telling you. Just, you know, if we think that we're going to be able to advance the kingdom of God without sacrifice, we're not going to be able to. And I just want Denny to know that all of us who went there and even those who didn't get a chance to go there, appreciate the sacrifice that you did. You opened your home. You fed us to every time I turned around, there was something to eat. You had a great hospitality, you and Marcy. I know the same thing was going on over at Craig's. And we had some church this week. We had some church. I'm sorry for those of you who missed it. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. It's just good stuff. I pray everybody's back home, although I know Mark Trump's probably staying there for a couple more days. And we're lining up and going to go to Panama City. I got some emails today from people who want to go with us. So, golly, I kind of blew 8 minutes right there. I just thank everybody that went, everybody that prayed, those who made a sacrifice. Anybody got anything you want to add into that? Anybody at all? I got something else I want to do here real quick. Any testimonies? Go ahead. Come on in.
Hey, Coach. This is Brother Jeff.
Yep.
You said you went through things where you got no problems. I had problems. I got nailed at the TSA. I got examined.
Good.
I got someone look at my baggage.
Proctology.
I'm like, what's going on? But I had the bread. You heard me say this to the ticket counter. That Jesus loves you, but he calls all humanity to repent. And the lady had a smile on her face. When I was at my gate, A4, I was able to witness to somebody there. The devil wasn't stopping me. And the same lady came down, and she had the biggest grin on her face. Biggest grin on her face. And as I got home, it kept coming, man. Just kept coming. But I did not let the devil pull me down. And I was putting a smile on my face, able to talk about God and be the shining light. Thank you.
Amen, baby. That's what we're supposed to do. I got a lot of testimonies. I spoke to Todd Barham yesterday. Sounds healthy as a horse. And he sent me an email today of a fight that he's fighting in their local Christian school. Here he is, Todd Barham, in the hospital, fighting for his life. And he said he's never been more bold for Christ in his life. And I wrote an email to the administrators at their Christian school where they're missing this and paganism and yada yada. And I'm not going to share all that with you, but listen, folks, look, your life's not your life, right? Your life's in His hands. Well, at what point are you going to realize that and trying to protect yourself from stuff that you can't even protect yourself up from? I'm not talking about being stupid stuff and drinking and driving and not, I'm not talking about that. Just opening your mouth and speaking the truth and being a witness to Him. Why are you keeping your mouth shut? What are you afraid of? And I think as we get beyond that, that's why I was so blessed to so many people who went to the courthouse with us on Monday, not because they went to the courthouse with us, but because they got over another fear step. They stepped up another level. It's all part of that spiritual growth and where we're going. And once we take our eyes off of us, get your eyes off of you, Christianity becomes much easier to live, much easier to live out. If the focus of your walk and your focus of your Christian life is God blessing you, you got it backwards, and you are going to continue to struggle with things that you ought to have victory over. The way it is, man. Are you a servant? Is He your Lord? Are you serving your Lord? Or is he God, your Savior, serving you? And unfortunately, in much of Christianity, we're teaching the reverse, that Jesus loves you and He just can't wait to serve you, make you happy, and give you everything you ever wanted to need, ever wanted to have. And I said, I'm happy. Look at that. You see that? Can you guys see my fingernail? It's perfect. Let me get it up. I want to see it. You see that fingernail? Perfect. It's not cracked. It's not torn. Nothing. I'm grateful today that my finger is perfect. No blisters on my hand. No sores in my mouth. God, thank God. Thank God for that. Sometimes hard things got to come into our lives to get our attention. That's what Todd Barham's teaching me. Amazes me.
Hey, Coach.
He's welcoming the hard time. He's welcoming it. Lord, bring that into me, because it's sharpening me and hardening me and taking away from me the things that don't matter. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that. Yeah. Is that you, Ray? Is that who it was?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one good thing that I saw out of this too was the spontaneous prayer and the power in it that went forth. Like that morning, Michelle talked to Todd. And spontaneously, we had him on speaker, and we just prayed over him. And then again with Denny and Marcy, laying the hands on the oil and the people surrounding them. It was just so right out of the biblical testament from the church. Yeah, right.
I saw Mark Trump begin to weep as he laid hands on Denny.
Amen.
Because as he reached out to do something for somebody else, God touched him. We have it so backward. We have it so backward. We're to be servants of the Most High, servants of Him. We're to be His arms and His feet and His mouth. We're supposed to be Him. We're supposed to represent Him. We are His ambassadors. And guys and girls, if we don't understand His nature, we don't even know what that means. Sometimes He gets angry. Sometimes He's harsh. Sometimes He says things that hurt your feelings. Sometimes He allows things to come into your life that you can't figure out why He did, but He did it for a purpose, because it is not about you. And if you make it about you, you're going to be miserable a lot.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Amen. You're going to be miserable a lot if you make it about you. Because, you know, I'm sitting there right now. I could think of 1,000 things that I could be mad about, miserable about, just right in my own life. Right?
Coach, the best we can get to is misery without Jesus. That's the best we can hope for.
Amen, Mark. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to say what y'all are talking about now is just so spot on, because even one of our pieces of our armor is the preparation of the gospel. Preparation involves study and application and practice and studying the gospel message, the message that sets people free, studying it and getting used to it and presenting it. Knowing it is not all it takes. It takes continuously increasing your knowledge and your application.
Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird my loins with truth, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Larry, I never thought about that till you just said that. The preparation of the gospel of peace, the preparation, the preparing of it, the preparing of it to take it, preparing of it. Takes a while. You got to cook the stew a little bit to be able to prepare it, to get it to where it's supposed to be and what needs to be said. And my experience tells me this. Scripture says this, that you shall be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them. See, the testimony of truth is always against falsehood. And if people are living their lives falsely, then you're testifying against them. You don't mean to. But the truth, in most cases, flies in the face of what the world's doing. So your testimony is against them. And think not what you shall speak, but shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak, for it's not you that speaks, but your Father that speaks. So when I got up this morning, here's what was on me, and so I'm going to share this with you real quickly. And then somebody want to say something before I do? Come on, I hear somebody trying to speak. I hear somebody.
Yeah, hey, Coach.
Yeah, hey.
All I was going to say is that the only way that you can become bold in Christ is through preparation, is through knowing the word, but not only knowing the word, but you got to practice it. And mm-hmm. that's the only way that you can become bold in Christ. Once you become bold in Christ, now you are a true child of God, because yeah. you're doing exactly what he laid out for us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You see, it's like a football player. You can't tell how good the football player is they've seen play. You see him play. And they say, you know, I'm a legend in my own mind. Well, when I went to college, they said an All-American was somebody that went to college more than 4 hours from home, because you could tell anybody you wanted to and nobody knew, right? So we're judged by how we play, So I want to sharpen you a bit here this morning, because this is, I always ask the Lord, you know, Lord, what would you have me to do? And so here's what the Lord said. He said, as we did a year ago, he says, well, I think you need to call for a fast. But the Lord said to me, you need to call for a fast. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm putting this out there. You know, coming up on February, and it's hard sometimes to begin a fast on a weekend. It just is. To start one on a weekend is really, really hard to do. So I'm gonna call for a fast beginning Sunday night. After Sunday night's meal, call as many brothers and sisters as you can to join me in a fast. Don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know what's going to be. My plan is, fasting is preparation. Fasting is preparation. And I just have an urgency or a conviction in my, that we need to fast. So some of you have never fasted before. Many of you would testify that, boy, I did it last year, Coach. Last time we did that fast, it changed me. It changed my life. And the purpose of fasting is not to move the heart of God. You don't have to fast. Say, Lord, I'm not going to eat anything, just to make you happy. No. No, you fast because it draws you nearer to God. Because every food and sex are the two greatest desires of men. And when you deny either one of those, you're in a real physical struggle. That's what you're in. And the Holy Spirit wants to put you into a physical struggle so he can strengthen you physically. That's what he wants, or spiritually. He wants to strengthen you spiritually. He wants you to be able to say no. No to this and no to that. Some of you, if you've never fasted, I hear people say, well, I'm going to fast and I'm not going to eat anything for a week. Well, if you've never fasted, you're probably not going to be able to do that, although you probably could. But it would be best if you just began with if you've never done it, begin with a day, begin with two meals. But I want to give you a little bit of guidance that fasting, the toughest part of fasting is the first 3 days. That's the toughest part. That's when that desire to eat is so strong. Not that it goes away, but as you fight against that desire to eat, as the spirit man becomes stronger and the natural man becomes weaker, the carnal man becomes weaker. At the deeper you get into the fast, the easier it is for your spirit man to be able to take over. So anyway, I'm calling for a fast. I'm going on a fast beginning Sunday evening. I'm going to, in my heart, I'm looking at a week. That's where I'm going. That's my desire to try to do it for, not try to do it. My plan to do it for a week, whatever the Lord would have me to do. And I would just ask any of you out there who want to join with me to join with me on a fast beginning Sunday after 6 o'clock. Some of you might be, say, Coach, listen, physically, I can't do it. I can't do it. My body can't take it. Okay, well, pick something to give up. Pick something to give up. Whatever it be, television, whatever. Something. The Lord said, don't bring me anything that doesn't cost you something. It's preparation. It's like weightlifting. Fasting is weightlifting in the spirit. So whatever that would be, you know, don't try to go beyond what you can go beyond, but try to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to do this. Please help me to do this. Giving up cigarettes, giving up chocolates, giving up. See, I'm going on a juice only fast. That's what I'm going to do. I go juice only because juice does help my low level fats continue to be burnt. Doesn't kick me into what they call ketosis or whatever they call that thing. I don't know, whatever it is. I drink juices, apple juices, vegetable juices, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. My goal is 7 days. Maybe I'll go beyond that. But that's what the Lord set me up. Anybody got anything they want to add to that? I'd love for all of you to join in this because I just think it's group, man. Remember the scripture says that some only come out through prayer and fasting. Jared, go to 1 Corinthians 2. Hunt up 1 Corinthians 2 for me.
Hey, Coach.
Comment or question there? Yes.
I'll join you.
Good. Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
Well, Dave, I was just going to say that he probably don't want me to say anything, but Josh Manna, he's been on a fast since this whole year.
Wow.
So he's day 29 or 30 today, and he's going to try to go 40 days. So please keep him in your prayers or send, if you have his information, contact him. Just let him know you're thinking about him, that kind of stuff. Encourage him. It's going to be hard because, you know, he had contacted me the other night, you know, and he was getting attacked, you know what I'm saying, with demonic attack. So I'm proud of him.
Yep. Hey, folks, listen, you don't, when you're fat, boy, I ought to do a teaching on that again. You don't get brownie points with the Lord. You don't get brownie. So it's about obedience, right? It's about obedience. And you will know when you go on a fast, and if you've never done it, you haven't done it, you'll go on the fast, you'll hear very clearly. And when you're on that fast and you have this desire to eat, you pray. You pray for Josh Mann. You pray for Todd Barr. You pray for whoever. Whenever you have the desire to eat, you pray. That's the purpose of it. To encourage and involve your spirit man in your daily activity. Powerful. It's one of the most powerful things that you can do. So, hey, listen, if you fall off the wagon, it's okay. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Doggone it. I'm sorry I did it. Start again. Pick it up and go again. By the way, there's great physical benefits to doing. Great physical benefits. They say your immune system resets after 3 days. Entirely resets. So I don't do it for that, but I was just... Something's coming. All right, something's coming. And I'm going to fast just for preparation for what's coming. I don't know what it is. So I'd encourage you all to get in there with it. And anybody, comment on that. Is Serge in here? I know Serge did a great job on it last time. And, so, you know, some of you, this might jumpstart you. This might jumpstart you because, you know, you did a good job, you know, fasting. You developed a lifestyle of fasting, and you were fasting every Monday. And then all of a sudden you fell off that wagon and you quit doing it. But this is going to, maybe we can knock you back on course here a little bit to develop a little bit more. I'm talking to me now. I used to fast regularly and I don't know. It's been several months since I've done a fast. So I'm anxious, looking forward to doing it. anybody else?
Hey, I'm aboard, Coach.
All right. Cool. You don't have to tell me. It's between you and the Lord. So, you know, if you're on, you're in. Yeah, Vic.
There's a years back, like about maybe 35 years ago, I did a what they call the maple syrup, lemon juice, and cayenne pepper fast.
Mm-hmm.
I went like about, I think I was real close to 30 days when they did it. But in that time, I was driving a truck, and I got an order to take a load out to California, and I didn't break it properly. So when you go in those long fasts, you have to be careful how you come off of the fast.
Yes, sir.
So I went 30 days, and like you said, after the third day, you're cleansing, and then you'll start to see some strange things, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see things that you've never seen. So the way the communication between you and the Lord, it becomes very intense. And now it's easier for you to tune into the frequency. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that's the main objective with fasting, is so that you can dial in a lot clearer. And when he speaks, it's almost like he's speaking at a very, very normal tone. Otherwise, it sounds like a very light whisper, and a lot of times you don't really understand it.
When you fast, you turn off the background noise. Hey, Jared, I got that one there. It says fasting, pain of fasting. Pull that up there real quick. Let me run this, because listen, we have new listeners all the time, right? Some have never done it. And so let me run down through this, because I just think it's germane, just so you can take some notes. I've got it up on the screen. The pain of fasting. Fasting is not easy. There are degrees of fasting, of course. Let me get this out of the way. I'm sorry. Here, Jared. There it is. The pain of fasting is twofold. The physical pain is due to the detoxification of our bodies. Remember, your body's a temple, right? Let's clean the house a little bit, right? Get some of this stuff out of it. All the accumulated poison and garbage starts to come into our blood, and we feel dread. This can be alleviated by fasting on juice. That's what I said. To me, juice keeps the body functions flowing, okay? Keeps it flowing. With juice fasting, you have some control on the speed of your body's detoxification. Because, folks, there's a physical and a spiritual component, all right? The soulish pain is due to the conflict in the spiritual realm between your flesh and the Spirit of God. This goes behind the natural desire to eat. There is a soulish pain as well, because one, most times our bodies are demanding food three times a day and complain that food is needed when they are denied. A little training in fasting soon clears up this misconception. In other words, you soon find out you don't have to eat three times a day. It's just a habit. And as a result, you may come off of the fast and your entire eating patterns may change. It's a good thing. Number two, you cannot use food as an emotional crutch to give pleasure, drowsiness, satisfaction, and an escape. Instead, you must depend on food, on God for that comfort. Don't have comfort foods. Take away those things that you do and let God be that. Number three, you are brought face to face with other painful issues in your life. God reveals the need for you to forgive others, to repent of your wicked ways, to stop running from him, start trusting him. There's thus also a spiritual and soulish detoxification. Wow, that's good, isn't it? Soul detoxification, which happens when we fast. Man. Four, you will be attacked by demonic forces seeking to induce you to give up the fast. Just say no to food. You're not going to die. Just say no. You're overcoming this urge. You're being trained. Your body is being trained that your spirit man is going to say no. You can't have that. No. You will be attacked by demonic forces seeking to induce you to give up the fast. Jesus experienced this in the wilderness with Satan. Matthew 4. Great spiritual victories are won or lost on our willingness to endure spiritual hardship and temptation out of love and faithfulness to the Lord. Let me stop right there. I hear people say, hey, I'm going to fast that the Lord will save my grandson. Well, that's good. Targeted fasting is good. But why don't you just fast? You know, deep down inside, you want your grandson saved for you. It's because some of the prayers we pray, things we desire, are selfish in nature. We don't understand, right? Nevertheless, thy will be done. Just pray and fast and let the Lord direct the fast. He will break chains that you don't even know are on you. Five. I think there's one more, Jared. I think you will experience weakness at times. We'll feel like, and we like to feel strong and in control. Fasting teaches us dependence on God. Wow. Screw. I think maybe there's one more down there. Number of people ask what you may or may not have during fasting. This depends on what God called you to do. It's normal to drink water during fasting. Never go without water more than 3 days. Drink, always drink. Helps cleanse, okay? An easier fast, which is more suitable for those who have other responsibility, which require energy, is to drink only juice and water. Another way is to fast, just eat one meal per day for a number of days till you get rolling on it. All of these fasts can have value. God will lead you. You can get more information, yada, yada. Okay. So that's what we're trying to do, okay? We're trying to train up your spiritual man, that make your spirit man. Jared, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Anybody want to amen that? So listen, if you fall off, one thing, if you fall off the wagon, don't be tempted off the wagon, man. Get victory over that. Get victory. You'll be stronger. You'll be stronger.
Amen,
stronger
spiritual man. Amen, coach.
Amen.
Okay, 2 Corinthians. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter. This is what came to me as I was talking about the fasting. Now, brethren, when I came to you, Paul's saying, I wasn't a great big talker. I didn't clearing unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That, ultimately, that's all that matters. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Hang on a minute. I wonder what they were afraid of. I wonder what they were trembling. I bet their butt was on the line. In my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That you should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You are going to reach places in your life where no matter what advice any man gives you, it ain't going to be good. It's not going to have to be the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them. Going down, Jared, I'm sorry. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. We need to be able to tap into the wisdom of the other world, a spiritual wisdom. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. You mean there's hidden wisdom that the Lord can uncover for us? There's wisdom that's unhidden. You have issues in your life that strongholds, things going on in your life, and the wisdom's available for you out there to give you the right direction, but you never know it if you don't tap into it, which God ordained even before the world unto glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. See, there's a wisdom that even the princes of the world can't figure it out. For had they known it, they would never have crucified Jesus. If they had it all to do over again, Satan would have never crucified. I thought they could head him off the path. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Wait a minute. I've read that scripture many, many times. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Wow. You ready? Some of the things he has prepared for you ain't going to seem very good. You go to a personal trainer. Sometimes you go to a guy that's a good personal trainer, and on the way to the gym, you think, oh man, what's he going to do to me this morning? Burpees? Am I going to have to do burpees? Oh man, no, I don't want to do those. Oh no, right? So God has things prepared for you if you love him. And if it's a training, some of that stuff may not seem like it's going to be very good. But the purpose of the fasting is to help you be able to endure to get through it. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So that's why we got to tap into it. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, those of us who are born again. We've received the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, freely given to us. May have to go get them. May have to go fight them, fight for them, but they're freely given to you. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, no, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, see, you can be, David Arthur said this a couple weeks ago, was you can be born again in carnal. You can be born again and think you got it all figured out. You think you can be born again and think you have all the answers and have it all figured out and you're the smartest guy that's ever done it. And it says the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness. I mean, neither the carnal man can't receive. He can't. Because why? They're spiritually discerned. So you get in that weight room and you do some exercises and you train that spirit man, and all of a sudden you're going to be able to hear and discern some of those things that you never heard or discerned before. But he that is spiritual judges all things, but yet he himself judges no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? It's a question. Who knows the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? We got the mind of Christ. So that's what we're going to do, boys. Over the next week, we're going to get the mind of Christ. Anybody have anything to add to that? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Power, man. Let's get some power in our life. Cool.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. When do you think it's a time to start fasting? Because it is an inconvenience to start out. And I think, wow, I have to go do something today if I start fasting.
Always one more meal I need, right? Always one more meal. And so at some point you just got to say, this is, I go to work at this time and I'm clocking in at this time. So whatever that time it is, I told you when mine is 6 o'clock Sunday, I'm done eating. I already said that. So now I know that's when I clock in. You just kind of set that in your own mind. When is it going to be? And beforehand say, Coach, I've never really done a whole lot of this. Say, I'm just going to give up lunch. Just start there. Just going to give up lunch. Let the Holy Spirit kind of direct you, because it's, again, guys, come on. When you go into the weight room, some of you can be intimidated when you go into the weight room because you get on the, you haven't worked out in a while, and you get on a bench press and you're benching 80. And I'm 66 and I get on there and I'm benching 100. I'm feeling good by myself. And I look, the guy over beside me, he's benching 250. Like, holy criminy, I want to bench 250. Well, okay. Yeah, start at 80. So if it's just a, you know, if it's just chocolate or just something, pick up a dumbbell and start exercising that. And then allow the Lord to direct you. Let your personal trainer direct you at that point. Okay, you're ready for a little bit more weight now. You're ready for a little bit. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. That's the point I'm trying to make. Cool?
If it's not costing you anything, if it's not any convenient to you, you're not doing it.
Yeah. Well, Chad, it's weightlifting, right? Weightlifting is hard, but it's good for you. Stand back and pump. Do all that stuff when you're done. Think what your spirit man's going to be like when you train him a little bit. So that's.
Well, on the next day, you're a little sore.
It will be.
It's easy not to go back in there and do it some more.
Chad, it's funny because I just had that conversation with my wife because you guys know I've been walking and doing everything to lose weight. And as much as I hate to say this, my body got in shape and now I got to up it. I got to get some more cardio in there. I got to get some weightlifting in there. And you know, I don't want to do it because why? I'm going to be sore for 3 days. Then I told Michelle, I said, golly, I'm going to start running on the elliptical some more. And I don't want to do it because I'm going to be sore for 4 days. That's exactly what I told her. But it's a necessary process of getting stronger, isn't it? It is.
I'm saying the more you're in shape, the less sore you encounter. Because once you get there, then you can plateau out and you're all right. So that's
right.
You know, it's a rite of passage. A rite of passage. So you let yourself get so far out. That's just like our fasting. we let ourselves, you know, not by not doing it, you know, eating, you know, on the you know, 8, 12, and 5.
Listen, it is a diet. It is a diet, but don't fast a diet. If you are fasting to lose weight, then you're fasting for you again, see, to try to get a something. No, you fast the spiritual thing. You'll lose weight. You'll lose weight. You know, it may not be. So I'm sorry. I'm going. Yeah.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
Coach, it's all about, they say that people pay like about $20,000 to $50,000 to get stem cells. Well, there was a study that came out of UCLA. I saw it like about 4 or 5 months ago that they were saying that a fast, like you said, would go ahead and reset your immune system. But that's the cheapest way to go ahead and come up with the stem cells. You produce your own stem cells. And the only way to do that is to actually go ahead and go through at least a 3-day fast. Now, a lot of times you're going to go through a juice fast. Well, think about Robbie Waksman. Robbie, you know, with a colon cancer that he has right now, you might think that you might want to go to the store and buy some kefir and something that has, you know, different strains of the lactobacillus that you need to go ahead and prep your intestine. Because, you see, when you go on a fast, if you have a lot of bloating, a lot of gassiness and stuff like that, you might want to do that. Right now, the Lord laid that on my heart. You can go many different avenues to become bold in Jesus. So you have to look at everybody individually and see what's really going on. The juice, yes, recommend it. Or you could go maple syrup with lemon and cayenne pepper. Recommend it also. Or maybe you might want to go down the path of getting some kind of a lactobacillus drink or whatever and go down that path.
Now you're getting technical on us, Vic. God bless you. Now you're getting technical on us. Because now, listen, Vic, what Vic's saying is the truth. But listen, just start, okay? Just start. And do me a favor, Google stuff. Or if you want some more information from Vic of different things you can do, and educate yourself, all right? Educate yourself, all right? Let's not make this legalistic. And there's great health in. I didn't mean to cut you off, Vic. I didn't mean to cut. But people have never fasted. Now just more information overload. Yeah, George. Was that George?
Hey, I was going to say, I don't know if any of you out there have ever had some sort of injury, but I've playing sports, I've been prone to lower back injuries. And I've got a couple personal trainers that have become good friends of mine, and they shared with me, and it really works. If you strengthen all the muscles around that injury, will help you, that injury, not become as noticeable. You won't have as many problems with it. And that's probably a little bit like fasting. We're always going to have that carnal weakness. But if we strengthen the areas around that, it won't become so prevalent.
That's right. That's right, brother. So remember, guys, as I said, there are physical benefits, but we're not doing it for physical purposes. I didn't mean to be mean to Victor there. Just start. Just follow the Lord and let the Lord tell you what it is that you need to do. Golly, pulled her up already. All right. We got to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that can only be done as we sharpen our ability to hear the Lord. Mark, that's why you have 1G, 2G, 4G, 5G, and each one of those G's is a different type of wavelength that we tune into. And some of us are 1G with the Holy Spirit. We're just 1G. We got to up it, man. Get up at 3G, 4G, 5G. Because remember, fasting is preparing you for what's to come. That's the way I see it. It's not about you, for what's to come. Okay, cool. I said cool a bunch of times this morning. I'm looking at my chart here and thinking, what do I want to throw up there next? Got a lot of things. Okay, I'm going to, I think, talking to me now. we are in the middle. There's enough people in America like we've never seen. And it's that, in my mind, it's that spiritual battle. Seed of the serpent gets the seed of the woman. And because I think Christians don't really understand the battle, we don't really get and understand what's going on. We don't pray enough. We don't pray enough for our leaders. And we know that this idea somewhere along the line, let me take you back to Ted Cruz. I remember back when Ted Cruz was running for president of the United States, everybody wanted Ted Cruz because he seemed like a good Christian man, yada, yada, yada. And I look back now, 2 years later, I'm kind of glad Ted Cruz didn't get elected. Because I think there's a form of godliness there that denies the power thereof, right? If Ted Cruz was this great Christian man that we think he is, then abortion, in my opinion, maybe already would be outlawed in Texas. That's where it's from. He could certainly have some influence in Texas. And say, so Coach, what are you saying? Well, I can't. I saw this video. Donald Trump and God. Because people can't understand how Donald Trump could have been such a sinner or still is a sinner, and yet God is using him. How can that possibly be? I came across this video. I don't know who made it. It says right down, this from about a month ago, this thing was up. It had 1.7 million views. And I want you to think, in your lifetime, please, do me a favor. Take Donald Trump out of it. Just look at this as the president of the United States. And ask yourself, in your lifetime, first president I had was as alive for Eisenhower, I don't remember it. Then as the life of Kennedy, he got killed. Johnson, he came and bucked things up. And then Nixon came after him. And then Ford came after Nixon. And then Carter after Ford. And then Reagan after Carter. And then Bush after Reagan. And then Clinton came in there for a couple terms. Then G.W. Bush. And then Obama. And now Trump. So let's take the president out of it. And I want you to listen to this. I want you to ask yourself, Christians, if we as Christians ought to be doing more, take Trump out of the picture, to be doing more to support a president who is clearly taking this position on God. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
That in solving the many, many problems and our great challenges, faith is more powerful than government, and nothing is more powerful than God.
Since the signing of the Declaration of Independence 241 years ago, America always affirmed that liberty comes from our Creator. Our rights are given to us by God, and no earthly force can ever take those rights away. Our religious liberty is enshrined in the very First Amendment in the Bill of Rights. The American founders invoked our Creator four times in the Declaration of Independence. Benjamin Franklin reminded his colleagues at the Constitutional Convention to begin by bowing their heads in prayer. Faith has forged the identity and the destiny of this great nation that we all love. Our nation will be renewed by hard work, a lot of intelligence, and prayer. We don't want to see God forced out of the public square, driven out of our schools, or pushed out of our civic life. We want all children to have the opportunity to know the blessings of God. Prayer changes hearts, transforms lives. It uplifts the soul, inspires action, and unites us all. We thank God for the faith of our people. We praise God for the blessings of freedom. And whether we are black or brown or white, and you've heard me say this before, we all bleed the same red blood. We all salute the same great American flag.
And we are all made by the same Almighty God. We ask God to forever bless this magnificent land that we all love so much, America. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless the United States. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much.
I listened to that earlier this morning. I thought that is unbelievably profound. And it again, in my lifetime, somebody come in here. Some of you older guys, Larry's out there. Larry out there? Anybody ever heard in your lifetime a president say anything close to any of those words? Now, wait a minute. Whoa. Yeah, he doesn't mean it. He's a phony. He don't mean that. Well, I don't know if he does or not. I know presidents say a lot of stuff they don't mean.
I go never back heard to, it. I go back to LBJ, Kennedy. Maybe I was a little there, but then to Nixon. Never heard anybody, not one president, come anywhere close to that type of pronouncement.
Amen. Is the church behind him? Are pastors in the pulpit standing up and supporting him? Somebody, come on in. Somebody else.
He's too bad.
I think the reason we have never heard anything like that out of the mouth of a president before is because the presidents we have had before program, others help program everything that comes out of their mouth. I believe that a lot of what we hear out of Trump is from his heart instead of a program.
And listen, I agree with you. And he doesn't. Please hear me. He doesn't even have to be born again to say those things. He is opening the door for Christians to move in. And instead, we sit back and wait for him to do what the church has been called to do. And then Coach, we get mad when he doesn't do it. Yes.
Coach, we think there's a new vacancy sign above.
What do you mean by that, Vinny?
Well, you know, the church is occupied by people occupied with money as opposed to people occupied with God.
Gotcha. Somebody else, come in.
Coach, if President Trump, if people hate him so much, it's because they don't really understand the anointment that he has. In that speech that he made there, and this is that he's not a full-fledged believer, according to a lot of people. We'll just expand on that and think that if he was a believer, how much more powerful would he be? You know, that just gives you time to think about why God selected him. God knows exactly what his potential is. That he's not doing it.
Vic, he's the sheriff. And the sheriff just said, hey, come on in, church. Does the sheriff have to be a Christian to welcome the church in and let the church come back and take its rightful authority? Because help me out here. Isn't the American government supposed to be under the church? It's not supposed to be the church above the American government. And there's the president of the United States, the head of the American government, saying, hey, listen, I'm the head of the government, but I ain't really the head. I'm not really the head. There's somebody above me. And who ushers in somebody above me? The church. Where's the church? Where are they? Where are we? We want him to end abortion, right? We want him to end that abortion in New York. We want him to do it. Why won't the Catholic Church end it? Why won't there be a public excommunication of the governor? Why won't they stand up and do it? And then we get mad at the president when he does it. Somebody, come on in.
Hey, Coach, I was just going to say that.
Paul, go ahead, Paul.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that really Trump is like old American in many ways. Americans had a respect for the things of God. Now, it didn't necessarily mean they were believers, and didn't necessarily mean things were going on, but they had a respect and they honored the people in the pulpit. And so what I think Trump is, he kind of is bringing it back to that point to where we respect God and we welcome them in. The church has got to take responsibility. It's kind of like, you know, I'll use a football analogy. It's kind of like, Coach, you know, in football, you had offensive line open up a hole. in that running back sees the hole, but he decides he wants to go somewhere else. Well, that's what the church is doing. The hole is open, but we're going somewhere else, not into that hole that's open and take advantage of it.
We're missing the hole. We're missing the hole. Hey, listen, real quick, Jared, Google Trump and Bible in school. Did you guys see this? Of course you didn't see it. Of course you didn't see this. Huh? Trump boosts state bill to teach Bible in public schools. Did you know that? When was this? Why, January 29th, 2019. Donald Trump boosts the bill to teach his favorite book, the Bible, in public schools. Yeah, but he grabbed a pussy once. Oh, he's just an adult doctor. Oh, my goodness. Come on, folks. Come on, church. Wake up to what's going on. He's up, Paul. He's opening every possible hole he can for the church to run through.
You know, he had that meeting with over 2,000 of evangelicals there in New York. And he said, I want to do away with 501c3. And they were totally silent. No one clapped. Because they're headstrong.
Right. Because they didn't want to do. See, taking away the 501c3 means they will take positions, and they don't want to take positions. They don't want to. They don't. Yeah. Amazing.
Hey, Coach, I think, and once again, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I'd pull the lever for him today. And I was a Louisiana chairperson for somebody else, so I don't just blow smoke out there and say I don't like him. But I tell you what, he preaches and defends the gospel and Christianity better than most pastors in America.
More often, that's for sure. More often. Hey, yeah. Jared, bring that back up there. Trump boosts. Bring that one back up here real quick. Let's see what it says. Look at what Donald Trump, what did he tweet? Numerous states introducing Bible literacy classes, giving students the option of studying the Bible, starting to make a turn back great. See, listen, he understands the importance of Christian principles. This ain't George W. Bush doing it. It's not Ronald Reagan. This is Donald the Pussy Grabber Trump.
Hey, saying,
come back in, church. Church, we need you. Come back in, church. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, for all that pussy grabbing, he knows what it's for, okay? He cares about children. That's the important thing. That's amen. What people keep glossing over.
Oh, man.
Hey, Coach, Randy. Yeah. Hey, I challenge everybody. Judge the man for his fruit, not by his personality.
Amen.
Randy, who else would we rather... Who else? Somebody tell me. Who would you rather have in there? Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney was a far more Christian man than Trump.
What would they have done to Saul of Tarsus? I mean, what would they have thought of Saul? Oh, he can't bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Right. He had Stephen Stone. No, he can't do it.
That's right. And so, again, get your eyes off of Trump and look at the door as Paul. So, Paul, that meant. That registered with me more than I can't tell you the number of times that I would sit down after a football game, review the film, and show the running back where the hole was. He missed it. You missed the hole. Guys, we're missing the hole. We're missing it.
You're
right in there.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, Coach, because everybody else wants them to run through where the all-star lineman was, not realizing the guy to the left is the guy who was blowing the hole open.
Oh, man. That's why I said the other day, I know you guys heard this, let's play where we can win. Let's play where we can win. We have got some holes, man. We got some holes open, and here's what we got to do. We got to quit waiting on Trump to call the play. We got to recognize the hole, grab the ball, and run through it. That's why I think the Lord is setting us up with some prayer and fasting, because I believe we're going to see some holes that are going to be open, and the church is going to have to grab the ball and run through it, and I look forward for the chance to be able to do it. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.